The Seton Hall Sports Poll is about to begin its 11th school year of conducting regular polls about the sports world. It began in 2006. This is year three of the Seton Hall Sports Poll podcast. Welcome, everyone. My name is Seth Everett. Pleased to be with you again for season three, at least of the podcast. I will tell you this, as we welcome in the director of the Seton Hall Sports Poll, Rick Gentile. I don't know what you guys did before this podcast. It must have been so boring.
Life was just not the same. It's true.
So we're set for another exciting year. We're going to have a lot more podcasts because we're going to do ones about specific subjects. As information gets released, we'll have a chance to discuss it here. And, you know, what we found in the seasons that we've done this before, the podcast really rallies around whatever the topic is. If it is a harsh topic, if it's a seriously debated topic, it turns into a very heated conversation. It can be unlimited, just how much information that we can actually have. This started with the NFL. And Rick, before we get into some of the specific numbers, the NFL, right around the time of the poll, went into a players versus president war. And it became more about Donald Trump versus NFL players than I think the original message. And before we get into some of the results of it, it seemed like a very polarizing thing. And I would just wonder how we talk about, or can we talk about, how this poll is conducted, what regions of the country are reached, because I think a lot of that has to do with what results come out. And we have to make sure that we get a sample majority as opposed to having something that is swaying on one side or the other.
Well, the methodology is sort of very scientifically sound without getting into too much detail. But these are the respondents are... randomly selected phone numbers, some landlines, some cell. And I think, in fact, in this poll, numbers, it was about 530 or 520 landlines and 320 cell phones. It's national. We call respondents for 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, from the East Coast, from 4 to 11 p.m. And we stopped calling East Coast markets after 9 p.m. and switched to middle, you know, Central Time Zone and Pacific. So it's national, it's random. There's no screening there in the sense that we don't ask your politics. We don't ask, basically all we want to know is, are you an adult? And are you willing to take the call, you know, take the poll? So, right. So it's you know, it's completely random, as I said. It's not somebody from ABC News yesterday asked, are these likely voters? I said this isn't a poll about who's going to win an election. This is different. No, we don't care if you're a likely voter. So you know, it's completely legit. It's scientific. It's not, you know, voluntary. We don't go online and say, would you like to do a poll? Fill out this form. It's absolutely 100% telephone based.
Well, and the point of that is, you know, when you look at it, there are some pretty polarizing results. And that's just something that we've seen in this society. Not only are these not registered voters, these aren't necessarily sports fans, correct?
No, there we do ask. We do ask if, you know, if you follow sports closely. We actually, in this poll, asked if you follow the NFL closely. But the truth is that those results did not vary a whole lot from, you know, from the general population. The big variance, which really should not be a surprise, was between white respondents and African-American respondents.
Right. And we'll get into.
Yeah, which we'll get into. Right. Yeah. But we didn't see a whole and you know, and it makes sense because this has become, as you said, this has become much more of a political issue than a sports issue, right? It has sort of nothing to do with sports. It has to do with, you know, from the beginning, from the Kaepernick protest, from, you know, protesting racial conditions. Basically, I'm oversimplifying that, but And then the president getting involved has made it, God only knows what, you know, but it certainly isn't a sports issue.
Well, let's start there. I mean, last year, Colin Kaepernick waged a protest last season by kneeling during the national anthem. This year, other players continued the protest by not standing during the playing of the anthem. When asked, do you approve, disapprove, or have no opinion, 32% said they approve, 44% said disapprove, 22% had no opinion. That's virtually split down the middle, don't you think?
Yeah, and well, that's what we're talking about here. You know, the issue is it's not just polarizing. It's very much a balancing act. You know, that most people, I guess you would say, most people feel that in the poll, and I'll sort of jump ahead. 84% thought that the players are justified in doing what they do, kneeling during the anthem. Either that or more of them, 50% thought, as opposed to 34%, 50% think that the players have every right to protest, but that they're not crazy about this particular method of protesting.
Well,
you could look at it any way you want, but the bottom line is lots of people think that they shouldn't be kneeling during the anthem. Lots of people think it's okay.
Well, the interesting, you know, argument about that, and that has to do with, you know, the level of attention being paid to this. This subject, you mentioned it's not really a sports thing. It is a sports thing, and it's not a sports thing. And, you know, in the media, there's been this great hashtag on Twitter, stick to sports. And, you know, whether this was the motivation behind the whole thing or not, the president of the United States was the number one topic this past Monday on every news and every sports station in America.
Yeah.
That includes television. That includes the 700 sports radio stations. That includes a lot of content that was about this. So that's why, you know, you look at this poll, and that's what found, to me, that was the most fascinating part about it. It was a hot button topic everywhere.
Yes. And I compared it recently to the Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding episode prior to the 1994 Olympics.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Not in any other way, except that it was a sports story because it took place, you know, among figure skaters as they prepared for the Olympics, specifically as they got ready for the U.S. National Championships. But it really was it became a crime story, you know, and so, yeah, it was sports, and every sports report covered it. But right. Suddenly it found itself as the lead story in every news report. And that very much, to me, is what's happened here. And I guess the president's, stating his opinion, tweeting his opinion, certainly escalated this from a sort of, you know, two guys sitting at the bar discussing this to a national news story.
It did. There's no question about it. All right, I'll give you three statements, and you know we'll go through how many people agreed with the most. The first one is, I don't support the players' right to protest and believe they should be ordered to stand for the anthem or be dropped from a team if they refuse. Now, number one, Rick, is exactly what President Trump said in a speech, correct?
Yes. He said that the players should be fired.
16%. 16% supported that.
He said the sons of bitches should be fired.
That's right. I support the very presidential. I support the players' right to protest, but believe they should stand for the anthem, finding a different way to express their political opinions. That's 49%.
Right.
I support the players' right to protest, and I think not standing for the anthem is an acceptable way to protest. Only 35%. Your reaction to that?
Well, I don't think only 35. I think 35% is one out of three people think that it's okay to not stand for the anthem. I think that's significant. You know, I think the fact is only 16% think they should be fired. I honestly thought that number three response would be lower, because I thought that the number two response is such a kind of middle of the road, okay thing. You know, you're not really taking a political stand. You're saying, of course I support the player's constitutional rights. You have a First Amendment right to say and kind of express yourself however you want. I just think it's inappropriate to do it, you know, while the national anthem is playing. That's a perfectly kind of right middle of the road attitude, I think. So I thought that would be the, you know, dominant in the sense that a majority of the people would say that, but they didn't, only 49%.
Well, I mean, part of it, you know, has to do with the fact that these guys are on company time. I mean, they're employees. Yeah. At a job. I mean, you know, right to protest. I don't think anybody suggested that any of these folks get arrested. I mean, they're not breaking the law.
I don't know about that.
But people have suggested that they should get in trouble with their employers. That's the issue to me that comes down to.
And there's
I don't think anybody debates whether or not it's their right to protest. Everybody has a right to protest.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and without getting into what do I believe and whatever, it's if you say to a public figure, which a football player is, obviously, this is not appropriate. You should do it on your own time. Well, who's going to pay attention to whether it's Colin Kaepernick or whoever if he protests where? In his living room? In the courtyard of his apartment complex? Like, who cares? His platform is the football field. That's where he's going to make the most. And clearly, if you look at this in a vacuum, his protest was extremely successful. Look what it has spawned. You know, he used his platform. He got a lot of attention. Other players picked up on it. The president got involved, and look where we are now. So, you know, this is an old story. This is not new. It's the idea that you use the where you're most publicly visible to wage your protest.
There wasn't any question about this, and you know, I'm curious to get your thought on it, though, and just the idea that someone's offended by this.
Lots of people are offended by this, yes.
But that's my point. That's, you know, we had this discussion last year about the Washington Redskins. You know, right. I'm not offended by the word Washington Redskins. You're not offended by the Washington Redskins. Someone is.
Yeah.
And my whole argument and my complaint against Colin Kaepernick was always, why does someone have to be put down in order for you to get your point across?
Well, why does something offensive have to take place? Yeah. Why do you have to do something that offends somebody?
Why do you have to? Right.
And it's true. And so, you know, you like now where we are now, the players can, I mean, if they call a press conference, I don't know how many players are involved. Let's say 150. I read somewhere that it was 150, but let's say it's 150. If they hold some sort of joint press conference to announce what they're protesting, I mean, and now we don't even know what anybody's protesting. They might just think it's against the president, White House.
Right? Well, they're just against the president.
So let's say that the people who are protesting, you know, racial injustice, violence against African Americans in the streets, the urban city, you know, areas, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't mean to be belittling that at all, but let's just say that they want to stage a protest. Now, if they call up the media outlets, and say, we're going to hold a press conference or make a joint announcement on Tuesday, now they'd get a national audience, you know, without.
But they would have had that last year. And I said this, I've said this on a radio station. No, I'm sorry. There are two sports radio stations in San Francisco where Colin Kaepernick was the quarterback at the time.
And he would have made as much of an impression as he did by kneeling?
I was told that one of the sports radio stations, well, first of all, they would have thumb wrestled for the opportunity to get him to come into their studio. And one of the program directors told me off the air, said that they would have gone commercial free to give him a platform. The Today Show, Good Morning America. No. The Today Show, the Good Morning America, and all the other morning shows, they would have mud wrestled for the opportunity to get Colin Kaepernick.
I
think Colin Kaepernick understated the use of the media.
I don't think he was, maybe after the first kneel, but if he had said, I want to be on Good Morning America to talk about racial injustice, who the hell is Colin Kaepernick? He wasn't.
He would have. They would have. I'm telling you, he had a chance in the social media world. No, that's fine. In the social media world, he would have gone gangbusters. And all he had to do was go through the proper channels. He didn't need to offend anybody. It's simple in this day and age to get a message across, and all you need is Twitter. J.J. Watt used Twitter to raise $20 million for a hurricane. It's possible. Yeah. And racial injustice is a big thing that trends on social media. And if Colin Kaepernick goes on the Today Show and says something very poignant and educated and talks about it, I would applaud him. And the problem is, instead, the reaction was not what's his message, it's why did he have to offend that soldier? He missed the boat.
I would argue that he staged a very effective protest. And I'm not even arguing the point of having been offensive or not. It's he made his point in a very powerful way. Lots of people were offended, but nobody missed it.
Let's go back to the poll. Colin Kaepernick has not been signed by an NFL team. Some say it's because of last year's protest. That's what we've been discussing. Do you think he would be signed today if he had not protested or has not been signed because he's not a good enough player? 47% said protested, 19% said not good enough, 34% said no opinion or don't know. If I may take the floor for one moment. I thought this poll question exemplified how the media has not covered this properly. In Seattle, it was known that the general manager wanted to sign Colin Kaepernick, could care less about the protests, and that his own quarterback, Russell Wilson, objected. And because they didn't want to make Russell Wilson uncomfortable, they didn't sign Colin Kaepernick. In Baltimore, they decided that because of the protests, they didn't have a problem with his protests, they didn't want the media reaction. And in Miami, where the greatest opportunity was there, when Ryan Tannehill got hurt, Colin Kaepernick last year went to a press conference wearing a Fidel Castro t-shirt. Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, could not look his season ticket base in the eye and sign Colin Kaepernick. And that has nothing to do with his protest.
Well, if he's wearing what was the t-shirt?
Fidel Castro.
All right. So I guess he's protesting by wearing the t-shirt. Oh, I mean, my point is,
he was supporting him. And
we could list 57 reasons Kaepernick wasn't signed, but you know, protest is the catch-all, I think.
I don't agree. I think that if he doesn't do the Castro thing, I think he's a Miami Dolphin. He was a better option.
But
than
my
what
point
they
is,
did.
The Castro thing is another way of him protesting. You know, we could have said his personality, but I don't know what we could say because he was, you know, he had a stomach disorder. But the point is, do you think he wasn't hired because of his protest or because he's not good enough? We want to know what the public thinks. We don't necessarily
want to know what Russell Wilson
thinks.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is he wasn't blacklisted from the NFL.
Well,
He wasn't blacklisted for the NFL. For a good chunk of time, he was asking for way too much money. And then the Seattle thing happened. It was reported. And the Baltimore thing was reported, and the Miami thing was reported. And what I thought was fascinating, because there were protests. These numbers are consistent with the protests that were, there were people marching in front of the NFL's commissioner's office in New York City and Park Avenue. And they're thinking that there's some kind of a blacklist on Colin Kaepernick because he took a knee. You said it yourself, 150 players took a knee this weekend. They're not all looking for jobs. Colin Kaepernick, I thought, did himself in. And well, I thought the biggest thing that he did was the Castro thing.
So,
and yes, I have a problem with it because my father's Cuban. And there were a lot of Cubans that had a huge problem with Kaepernick. And again, nobody was talking about. Notice, we have not brought up police brutality. That was the point of this. And he mixed his message. And because he mixed his message, 47% think it's because he protested. I would love to know what those people thought about why he protested.
Well, I guess we can do it on the next poll. What would you have answered to this question?
What I would have answered? I would have said
neither. There wasn't a choice, but you could have said neither. We would have marked it down.
Yeah, I probably would have said neither.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's not because he protested.
Here's the thing. We're not asking a factual question.
I know.
We're asking, why do you think he wasn't signed?
That's why it's a poll. 47% right.
Think, well, we're not, and then we don't analyze, is that right or wrong? It's the fact of the matter is 47% of the people in the United States who we surveyed think that he wasn't signed because of his protest. That's the question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. President Trump called on NFL owners to fire any player who refuses to stand for the national anthem. Commissioner Roger Goodell and several NFL owners responded that the president's comments were divisive. Whom do you most agree with? The choices are President Trump, Commissioner Goodell, and the owners. I guess that's one category. Neither, both, or don't know, or no opinion. 28% said President Trump, 50% said Commissioner Goodell, and 13% with no opinion.
And that, to me, that's not a surprise. That, you know, 28% is arguably the president's base. Maybe, right, you know, 5 points higher. Our margin of error is 3 point something. So it's very, right, close to, you know, people who, without casting aspersion, people who tend to say whatever, agree with whatever Trump says. But 50% thought that, you know, it's not so much agreeing with the commissioner and the owners. The point is 50% said what he said was a divisive thing to say. It was not a healing thing. It didn't help the issue any. It created a division. You know, and I'm really not surprised by that response at all.
You know, the interesting idea about this is how this poll got changed into the Trump aspects. You're a very fortuitous preparer. When you were preparing the poll, this had not happened. The press conference that kind of launched this war between the players and the presidency didn't happen.
I think it was Sunday night.
Right. So take us through the thought process. This was going to be a discussion, but it wasn't going to be the discussion.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Right. It wasn't going to be the top news story. I actually asked several people who I work with in the sports industry and some students, what do you think the two biggest stories in sports are right now? And in every case, or the three biggest, whatever I asked, in every case, the number one story was the players' protest, the NFL players' protest. Mm-hmm. And so I said, all right, well, let's lead with that. And the question six, the one we just discussed, Goodell or Trump, that was a direct result of, obviously, after the president had made his remarks and Goodell had responded. But before that, we were the first poll out last year covering the Kaepernick situation. So we were going to do it anyway. And then the controversy broke out. And we went for it, obviously.
Yeah, it exploded. The other subject matter that is connected to this has to do with the fact that NFL ratings are down. With your history and your illustrious career with CBS, I know you have opinions on this. Let's start with the results from the poll. This season, do you find yourself watching more NFL games, less NFL games, or about the same amount? 50% said about the same. 29% said fewer. 5% said more. I'd love to meet those people. 16% said they didn't know. I would think if they don't know, then it's probably fewer. But that's, again,
well, you know, the more is usually explainable by, I don't know, you might be a Philadelphia Eagle fan and they won two games out of the first three. So yeah, I'm watching more. I love
watching more. Right. I'm watching
so that's
more.
That one. That knocks that out. The 29% fewer is very, very alarming. Again, almost one in three people are watching fewer NFL games than they were. Mm-hmm. So that's sending off bells and whistles. That's scary.
Well, and you think that the network executives and even the folks that are trying to get into football, you know, Amazon aired a football game and Twitter aired the NFL games last year, and you know, Facebook's looking at all these things, and you know, all these places and all these networks, they're all checking out numbers such as this. Before you go to the why, there's so many reasons why.
Yes.
And it just seems like you can't put your finger on
there's
one of
no,
them.
Right. It's exactly right. It's like a perfect storm kind of thing. There's so many things going on.
Well, but part of it is the increase
including
in ratings.
A perfect storm.
But the increase in ratings that does exist. I mean, before we get to the poll numbers, what about the idea that, you know, Fox News and MSNBC and CNN have all seen ratings increases in the past year? Last year, a lot of NFL's ratings were attributed to the election. But this year, it just seems that if you're a news outlet, you've been having a fantastic year, and sports has really taken the brunt of it. And it's more than just, you know, cord cutting and television watching.
You know, yes and no. The NFL is ratings are down. Baseball ratings aren't significantly down. But the NFL ratings are down about, you know, the president announced that they're way down. They're not way down. They're about down 8% after the first 3 weeks. It's really not. And again, there are a million reasons, including, and when we get to the next question, we'll see the obvious clear dominant reason, at least what the poll shows. There was a hurricane that everybody was focused on in week one. You know what I mean? You could argue, well, of course, new, you know, during a hurricane as devastating as the two that we had, the one in Houston and the most recent one, you know, it's kind of riveting stuff. It's that thing where you can't take your eyes off it. But there are any number of reasons, and I don't know, you know, advertisers aren't going to start flocking to news shows instead of sports. Sports is still king on in terms of advertiser support. It's the most valuable property on television.
It is,
and elsewhere.
It is. All right. Let's go through the numbers. We'll give you all the choices, and then we'll go through the numbers, and then we'll continue this discussion. Why have you watched fewer? So this is of the 29% that said fewer. So that's 1 in 3. Here are the choices. The games aren't as good as in past years. Well, come on. How does that not be 100%? Number two, too many games on TV. Number three, too many commercial interruptions. Number four, the players' protests during the national anthem. Number five, boycotting in support of player protests. Number six, bothered by danger of head injuries. Seven, other. And eight is don't know. You want me to go in?
I think here you could list, you know, you could list 10 more. You could have said I was watching the hurricane coverage or whatever. But the fact of the matter is that and in terms of just placement, this question appeared in the poll. It's the second question. It appears in the poll before we got into the protest questions. So nobody was kind of already revved up. It also.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that's important. The timing of the poll, yes. Right? That's significant. So,
and also, this question was obviously only asked of those who responded that they're watching fewer. So this is asked of the 29% who said I watch fewer games this year than in the past.
Okay.
So now out of those 29%. 47% said that the player protest during the national anthem, and nothing got more than 6% other than that.
Right, that was, except for, you know, other and don't know.
Well, right. So that's not inconsistent with what we said last year. And lots of people said that can't be right. The NFL itself went on record as saying that's not right. It's too many commercials, and we're going to fix that, if you remember. The commissioner went out and said, we're going to cut the number of commercial interruptions. We're going to shorten, blah, blah, blah. And I was asked at the time, is that going to do anything? And I said, absolutely not. People don't know how many commercials are in a football game. They know if somebody scores a touchdown, it's safe to go get a beer because they're going to take a commercial. But they don't know if it's 2 minutes and 30 seconds, Is it 3 minutes and 30 seconds? People don't know that. They have no sense of it.
Yeah, you know, the joke I said before about the games aren't as good as in past years, you know, there's been all kinds of talk about how training camps have been shortened and how the quality of play has not been as good and not as many fantastic finishes. And, you know, the disparity where it used to be the epitome of parity, now there are bad, bad teams. And sometimes you have really good teams playing really bad teams and there's a mismatch.
Yeah.
I don't know how too many games on TV would be something that.
Well, you know, oversaturation. People... Oversaturation.
Right. Oversaturation. But you know, is there still the compel? Are you still compelled to watch these games?
Well, so
I'll be perfectly. I didn't see Bears Packers. I had something else going on.
Well, that's the point of that question. It's, you know, on a Sunday, I might watch the Bears Packers. On a Thursday night, I'm not going to stay home and watch the Bears Packers. And that's right. The point. It's now, we now have national broadcasts on Sunday night, Monday night, and Thursday night, and football all day on Sunday. And yeah. The point is it simply oversaturation?
Sure.
And it doesn't affect necessarily your Sunday viewing. If you're a person who watches football on Sunday afternoons, well, then you're not going to watch less because there's a Thursday night game. But the point is the Thursday night audience might drop off. The Sunday night audience might drop off. And that's where the ratings, that the primetime ratings are down. And that could very well be a reason.
Well, do you believe that, you know, for all the folks that said it was the protests, just wanted to make a point about the protests, because you watch a lot of sports and you probably are a better judge of this than I am. Because when I'm watching sports, I'm all over Twitter and, you know, I'm not just watching a game. In the third quarter of a, you know, 21-14 game and one, you know, team A is driving down the field, are you thinking about the protests?
Well, maybe. No, because if you're so upset about the protest, you're probably not watching. You know, I personally think that in that 47%, it reflects to a degree the tremendous amount of attention the protests are getting. So I think once you give them that choice, and this isn't an open-ended question. We don't say, why are you watching less? And they come up with answers. We're giving them these answers, these possible responses.
Right, right. Nobody's volunteering that information.
Right. I think when you get to the players' protests, oh yeah, that's it. I think there is a degree of peer, you know, being among the peers, your peers who are saying that. So I think it's kind of a trendy answer. I don't know that it's really that 47% of the 29% are really not watching as much because of that. And, you know, it's hard to say, but the fact is certainly it has an impact. It's consistent with what we found last year. And there's no question that it's having an impact. You would now be sticking your head in the sand if you said that's not a reason that people are watching less football.
It's an amazing time. It's an amazing idea. Would you say the poll was indicative to what you had thought? Did anything come at you and absolutely stun you? None of it stunned me. I looked at it and said,
"No, nothing stunning. No, no." I think there was some very dramatic numbers, you know, where you said, whoa, you know, some of the differences that we didn't even really go into on the African-American versus white responses. I'll give you one example. 70% of African-Americans said that that kneeling during the anthem was an acceptable way of protesting. Only 28% of whites said that. You know, that's a dramatic difference. And there were other, you know, questions that lent themselves to that kind of differential. Again, not necessarily surprising. 6% of African Americans supported the president on the question, the Goodell question.
Right.
Yeah, 28% of the public said we most agree with Trump. 6% of African Americans said that, 32% of whites.
And just to be clear, just to make sure people listening to this understand, these are random respondents.
Oh, yeah, yeah. then
and they're asked, and they're asked, you know, what their background is. They're asked that they do not have to give that information, correct?
No, that's right. We at the end of the poll, we ask various demographic: how old are you? What's your race? If they say I'm not comfortable saying that, then it goes down as don't know, or as a refuse to answer. On the Gatel part, where we had 50% agreed with the commissioner and the owners, as we said. 78% of African Americans agreed with the commissioner, 47% of whites. So you know, in several cases, 47% your issue, 47% of the respondents thought that Kaepernick wasn't signed because of his protest. 81% of African Americans felt that way.
Of course.
Only 7% felt that he wasn't good enough. Among whites, 41% protest, 22% ability. So, you know, that's where the dramatic differences are. But I agree with you. There's nothing in this that shocked me.
I spoke to students, and I had students who were African American and Caucasian, Italian, you know, all different backgrounds. And, you know, when I asked African American people who said they supported Colin Kaepernick, and I asked them about the media, they hadn't considered that. When I asked them about the Castro shirt, half of them didn't know that. I'm not expecting the poll to respond to that. It's just, I just don't think this was covered evenly. And that's where my biggest complaint, I think, over the course of the year was sports radio stations were afraid to touch it. You know, the news media didn't want to handle it. And there was always something pushing it aside.
Well, I ratings think that's ratings not really a surprise either. I mean, lots, you know, we all know that racial discussions are often dicey.
Sensitive.
People don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it.
Right. And my whole point about bringing up the Castro point is because, again, I had a personal stake in that. I'd never, and I do radio shows all the time, and I never said a thing about Kaepernick's right to protest. I stood by my argument. Why does somebody have to be put down in order for you to get your message across? And did you try the media route? Now, if Colin Kaepernick says to me and says, you know, I tried that. I went on KNBR or 95.7 The Game, and, you know, I didn't get any response. So this is what I thought. If he had tried that first, I'm all for it. You know what I'm saying? I would be all for listening to him. And all I'm saying is his message has gotten so muddled.
What you're saying is he had the right to protest, but he chose the wrong forum.
The wrong path. So, right, path.
I mean, I think you agree with most Americans.
Right.
I would say that's what most Americans believe.
Coming up in our next poll, we'll start polling people in England and seeing what they think.
Right. Yeah. I wonder. That's a good point. What is this doing? I don't know what the international reaction to this is.
I would love an international poll. I know that we'd have to put the phone bill, but I would love an international. I would love one. I would love to know people's perceptions in all different, not just England. I was just using it as an excuse.
I could tell you what the international perception is, that we're all crazy. I think they now feel that Americans are now certifiably crazy.
I do I have some friends in Australia, and I talk to them fairly regularly. And anybody who follows me on Twitter knows I have a certain connection to Prince because I used to work with him. And those people, that's how I know those guys. They worked with him as well. And I talk to them, and they are fascinated with the Today Show because it's in prime time for them.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course.
They love the first half hour. They watch it online, right, and they see online the first 30 minutes, which is usually just news. You know, it's not the cooking segment or the dancing segment. It's the news, and it's pretty concise, and the NBC does a good job. And they had that news, and they watch the Today Show regularly, mocking everything.
Yeah, well, that's I know that. When I was doing Olympics, I spent, you know, almost half the year in Europe or in Japan, in the case of the last one I did, right. And watched a lot. Obviously, you know, you tend to watch CNN international when you're overseas if you're an American, but I would watch local news. And generally speaking, they think we're nuts. And I think everything we do kind of furthers that.
we're not doing anything to dissuade.
It's hard to deny it. You know, it's hard to say, no, we're really not nuts. We're very sane.
Oh, Rick, this is fun, and it's good to be back. The poll is conducted by the Sharkey Institute as part of the Stillman School of Business at Seton Hall University. You can follow Seton Hall University's blog for all the latest details and more information about the results. For Rick Gentile, I'm Seth Everett. This is the Seton Hall Sports Poll, episode 1 of season 3.